Economic sanctions are back in focus after North Korea today claimed to have tested a more sophisticated nuclear weapon. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. You may have heard this morning that North Korea is asserting that it tested a hydrogen bomb today. The country has already tested atomic devices, but a thermonuclear device would be much more destructive. What is confirmed is some kind of seismic activity of similar size to a previous atomic test. The UN Security Council called an emergency meeting for today, and it's likely that sanctions will be discussed. A diplomatic correspondent at our partner broadcaster, the BBC.
The problem, of course, is that North Korea is one of the most isolated countries in the world. It's been sanctioned since its first nuclear test back in 2006. It's had a decade now to adjust to those sanctions. Sanctions have not stopped its nuclear program up to now, and the UN Security Council will meet. I dare say that they will try to toughen sanctions further, but I can't honestly imagine that it will have any significant impact on the North Korean program.
There may be room to, in fact, tighten sanctions. I see in the Wall Street Journal that the U.S. administration has not yet frozen the assets of the North Korean leader or his top deputy. So there may be means to at least try to toughen sanctions.
I think targeted sanctions certainly could be stepped up. If you look at the numbers of individuals that are actually targeted for sanctions, they are relatively small now, individuals and, you know, commercial entities. And also, of course, crucially, there are key middlemen, as it were, some of them outside North Korea in other countries, who are instrumental in helping the North Koreans gain components and parts. And I think people do believe that there is more that could be done in sanctioning those entities and individuals as well.
To what extent, Jonathan, is this China's problem, and if so, China's problem to solve?
Well, look, China's chief concern regarding North Korea is maintaining stability. The Chinese nightmare is that the North Korean regime would collapse and millions of people would flood across its borders and so on. The problem is the Chinese have relatively limited levers they can pull. Sometimes one can overstate the amount of influence and leverage the Chinese have. As I say, the North Koreans believe this is for their ultimate security. You know, if countries really believe something is vital to their national interests, they go ahead and do it, and I don't think the Chinese are going to be able to persuade the North Koreans to give up their nuclear weapons.
Good to get the expertise of the BBC's diplomatic correspondent, Jonathan Marcus. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.
With that going on, financial market participants opted to reduce some risk today, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, in fact, the other indices, were down by more than 1% in early trading. However, today, a private sector survey of American payrolls bodes well for the official employment number coming on Friday. ADP's number rose by a strong 257,000 people in December. The annual Consumer Electronics Show kicks off today in Las Vegas after news the ride service Lyft and General Motors are coming together to work on driverless taxis. Robot cars are fascinating, but at this stage, no surprise. And beyond smarter smartphones and electronics you can wear, what is left in terms of tech innovations? Our senior tech correspondent, Molly Wood, is in Las Vegas this week. She's a longtime veteran of this annual Festival of Gadgetry. Molly, good morning.
Good morning, David.
What do you got this year? There's usually something fascinating that one has never heard of. What are the biggies?
The themes are pretty similar to last year. 4K TVs and 3D printing, virtual reality. We might see some sexy self-driving car. But the sense is that the tech industry seems to be entering a little bit of a trough. And according to the Consumer Electronics Association, any new technology can actually take 7 to 10 years to find an actual market. Which means that a lot of that sexy stuff that was introduced 5 years ago is just starting to mature. So I think at CES now, they're looking to the future, but it's the far-off future. It's kind of a rebuilding year.
Because we've all heard of 4K super high-resolution TVs, connected cars 5 times an hour, but any emerging trends so far?
One thing that I'm finding interesting, actually, is the convergence of tech and medical devices. What would have been a consumer electronics wearable a couple of years ago is now getting FDA clearance. There's FDA-cleared hardware that can treat nausea and motion sickness, like a wearable. There's a new thermometer that can take your temperature non-invasively, sort of like those ones that don't wake up the baby. But then they transmit the data over Wi-Fi so that you can see how effective medication is.
Well, you just described essentially a Wi-Fi connected human baby, but what else have you seen?
I'm seeing some extreme silliness in the land of connected devices, sort of connecting the connected devices. For example, I saw a fashion wearable that is itself connected to your phone, but has built-in Bluetooth headphones that are also connected to either the phone or the wearable, solving a problem that no one has. I saw a Wi-Fi connected automatic bartender, a Wi-Fi camera that sticks onto your fridge and tracks the food that goes in and out. It feels like we might be reaching a little bit.
Yeah, it's becoming a bit of a cliche, Wi-Fi connection for its own sake, if that's the case. But if you're actually there covering this thing, what is the actual big news from CES so far?
In my opinion, the actual big news from CES so far is that Uber and Lyft are now in Las Vegas. And this is inside baseball, I know, but anyone who has been to CES knows that the cab lines are legendary, that Las Vegas was the last bastion of the cab industry, and it has fallen. About 4 months ago, ride sharing came to Las Vegas, and it has changed everything about the way that people are getting around CES. It's a big deal.
And Lyft is making real news, too, with an alliance with the General Motors Corporation to develop driverless cars. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent, Molly Wood, from the Consumer Electronics Show. Molly, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
By the way, it's become a meme that young people don't buy cars anymore. They buy phones, etc. They live in big cities, use public transit instead, and the car industry will soon be dead. The reality. Now that the 2015 auto sales numbers are in, we can now tell you that younger people were driving a lot of those sales. J.D. Power says the average age of the new car buyer dropped last year, okay, from 49 years old to 48 years old, but you see the point, right? I think I see the point. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.